Thank you, Leah. You guys don't realize how much practice goes into doing one of those things. That's why Dean and I aren't playing piano. No, it's a blessing, definitely a blessing. All right, we're going to cover something today, a little bit kind of a mixed thing. We'll go ahead and pray here in a moment that I talked about last week. A little bit of the history of Christianity, but also some defining of it beforehand. So let's go ahead. You can turn to Acts chapter 11. So cadets, that's page 529 in those light blue Bibles. Go ahead and get turned over there, and then we'll pray, and we'll get into the Bible. Acts chapter 11. So you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then Acts. So the fifth book of the New Testament, page 529. All right, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll read here. Father, thank you again for this morning, for the folks that you brought out. Lord, some that are maybe at the fair doing things for Labor Day, please keep them safe. And watch over us here this morning. Pray that you'd bless and give an understanding heart to everyone that hears this morning. And acknowledge what we're going to look in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I think about the history of Christianity, I want to define, first of all, I'm not talking about the history of the Baptist Church, okay? That's not what we're talking about. And it'll just be part of the message today. I'm not talking about the history of the Baptist Church or the history of any other, what they claim to be the one only true church, because there's some denominations out there. When we talk about Christianity, we are not talking about a denomination. And I usually emphasize this a lot almost every place I speak, whether it's on the podcast or the radio or even with the cadets. It's not about a denomination, okay? Because there's no single denomination that has the cornerstone on Christianity. I'm going to put it that way. But also when I was thinking about this, a history of it, a brief history of it, I thought about, well, did most people even know what you're talking about? Now when you say Christianity, you say, oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. Well, look at Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. I think this is one of those words, again, that we use interchangeably with some other words, but the definition is not the same. Acts chapter 11, and look at verse 26. Acts 11, verse 26, and it says, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Okay, so the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That's Antioch of Syria. So this is the first place that the word Christian shows up. Now this is after Christ died on the cross and what they were doing there. But the Bible says, Acts chapter 11 and verse, well, if I can get this working here. Tom, can you hit the little arrow key there on that, maybe? I might have to, there we go. Okay, thank you. So he says, and when he had found him, they were called Christians first in Antioch. So first of all, what is a Christian? Now, people have different ideas about what a Christian is. And today, I think if you were to go out and ask somebody, are you a Christian? There are many different people that say, oh, yes, I'm a Christian, that maybe aren't what the Bible defines as a Christian. So that's what we got to look at today. First of all, what is the Bible definition of a Christian? You might be surprised by it, but what is a Christian? So first and foremost, it is someone who has trusted Christ alone as their Savior, and that means they are saved. Now that's the term I think we use interchangeably with Christian, but they're not the same. So before we go on here, let's look at a few definitions here. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, page 575. 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you're in Acts, then go Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and then 1 and 2 Timothy, page 575 in those light blue Bibles. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and let's look down at verse 10. Paul says here, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Now, Christianity really has to do with somebody's manner of life, but it also has to do with, first and foremost, being saved, what we're going to talk about. Turn to the book of John, the book of John chapter 3. We'll just get a handful of definitions here to help you to understand what we're really talking about. So cadets, page 508, if you want to look there. The fourth book of the New Testament, the book of John in chapter 3. John chapter 3. Of course, John 3:16 is probably one of the most recognized verses in the Bible, one of the most famous verses. But we're going to look at the verse after that, verse 17. Because we'll see this term show up over and over and over again before the term Christian ever showed up in the Bible. John 3:17, it says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be," what's that last word?
Saved.
Someone who, when you put your faith and trust in Christ, you are saved, okay? That is key. So when we're talking about Christianity, it is someone who is saved, first of all. And look at that term again. Look at John chapter 5, just over a page or two. John chapter 5 and verse 34. John 5 and verse 34, he says, "But I receive not the testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might," this is Christ speaking, "that ye might be saved." You say, saved from what? Saved from paying for the penalty of our own sins in hell. That's what saved means. That's why they call it salvation, being saved. Okay, look at John chapter 10, over about four pages or so. John chapter 10 and verse 9. Jesus Christ said, "I am the door. By me," through Christ and him alone, "by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." So you see this term saved shows up again and again and again. Let's look at it one more time. Turn to the book of Acts in chapter 2. So right after the book of John. So page 522 for you cadets. Page 522, Acts chapter 2, and look at verse 21. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you're willing to put your faith and trust 100% in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're calling upon the name of the Lord. That means you are forgiven of your sins, you will be saved, you will be on your way to heaven no matter what happens for the rest of your life. That is what salvation is. That is being saved. So a Christian, first of all, is someone who is saved. And it's through Christ and him alone. It's not through good works. It's not through some other thing. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So it's through Christ and him alone. John 10:9, we already looked at that one. But it says, "I am the door, by me, by Christ, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Now again, all these showed up before the term Christian was ever coined at Antioch. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be" what?
Saved.
Okay? So a Christian is first saved. Because you see, a lot of times people say, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian," but they're not basing that on being saved, on trusting in Christ and him alone. So I think in today's world, because Christianity is a pretty common term, I think a lot of people get it mixed up with what it really means. A Christian is first and foremost someone who is saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, he says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." You can go to other countries, and if you mention the term Christian, they think about one certain church. The church that was in charge of all the Crusades, the church that was in charge of the Dark Ages, Revelation chapter 17, all that. That's what they think of as a Christian. That is not a Christian, okay? You say, why? Because by and large, those people are not trusting in Christ alone as their Savior. They are not saved. They may believe in Christ, and we're going to look at this. They may say, "Oh, but I believe in Christ. Oh, I go to church. Oh, I do communion. I do all these religious things." That does not make you a Christian, and that does not get you saved, okay? So that's what we're looking at here. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life." He gave it to us. It's a free gift. Okay? "And this life is in his Son," through Christ and him alone. Then he puts it very simply. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." There's a lot of professing Christians out there that don't know beyond the shadow of a doubt that they have eternal life. But someone who is saved knows that because they're putting their faith and trust in Christ and him alone. So a Christian is someone who is saved. So what is a Christian? They're someone who's first of all saved and that you strive. You do your best to live according to the Bible, the way Christ taught it. Now, I'll give you this example, and I've used it before. But a man that was here many, many years ago, Steve Naroff, many of you will remember him. He told me at one time after he had moved away, and he was living in Boston, I think, at the time. And he called me, and, you know, he wasn't going to church, wasn't doing anything like that. He was saved. He had trusted in Christ as his Savior, okay? So he was saved. But he said, John, I'm saved, but I'm not a Christian. Now, that was the first time anybody had ever said that to me, and I thought, yeah, that's a true statement. Because he was saved, he had trusted in Christ, but he wasn't striving to live according to the Bible. He wasn't trying to live as Christ lived. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, among whom also we had our conversation. You see, so when they talked about, in Acts chapter 11, when they said they called them Christians first, you know what they were looking at? They were looking at their manner of life, that they gathered together with the church, they were teaching the Bible, they were doing these things. They were looking at their manner of life, and they said, and it wasn't the disciples that said it, it was other people watching the disciples said, those guys are followers of Christ, which is what Christian means. Someone who is a disciple or a follower of Jesus Christ. So they had their conversation before you became a Christian, before you got saved, in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature children of wrath, even as others. In verse 10, he says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You know how people might see that you're a Christian before you say anything? They're seeing how you live, how you talk, how you act, your conversation, your manner of life. That's why over in James it says, faith without works is dead. I'll show you, show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. So a Christian is someone who's saved, okay, which is not exactly the same as just being a Christian. You've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're saved, and then you try to live for him. Those two combined are what makes a Christian, and I hope I'm not making this confusing for you. I want to clarify the difference in these two terms. Ephesians 4 and verse 22, it says that you put off concerning the former conversation. You say, the way I used to live. I've told you before, I used to be involved in Satanism and witchcraft. I don't do that anymore. I used to talk in a certain way that I don't talk that way anymore. There's things I did or places I went that I don't do that anymore. You say, why? Because God has changed me, so I shouldn't have those desires to do those types of things. And that's what makes the difference. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, there was a cadet, I don't think she's here today, at the Wednesday Bible study. And we were talking about, you know, the things that people maybe used to do. And I said, I used to listen to, you know, Megadeth and Metallica and all the war and all these different bands. And she's like, well, can a Christian listen to those things? I said, a Christian can, but a Christian shouldn't. But we are still capable. Someone who is saved is capable of all the same sins anybody else is. You say, how? Why? Because we still have this old flesh. We still have this that we deal with. Now, by the grace of God, we should not be doing that, but we're definitely capable of it. But it has to do with our conversation, our manner of life. Philippians 1:27, he says, only let your conversation, now this is not just the way you talk when the Bible says conversation, it is your whole manner of life. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. In other words, that it is fitting to the gospel of Christ. If I tell you I'm a Christian, that automatically gives you in your mind, okay, here's probably what he does and what he doesn't do. He probably doesn't do this, doesn't do this, doesn't do this, and he probably should be in church doing these things. You automatically think of what a Christian should be like, okay? And that does have to do with your conversation as becometh the gospel of Christ. And he says here, whether I come and see you or else be absent, that I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, that's what we should do, with one mind, having the mind of Christ, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Now this was Christ's manner of life. This was his conversation. He anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. You know, a Christian shouldn't be the biggest complainer you know. A Christian, excuse me, shouldn't be the meanest person you know. Sometimes we are, but that shouldn't be the case. This is the example. The Bible says that he left us an example that we should follow his steps. Okay? So Christ stood on the right issues. Christ went about doing good. Christ was a friend of publicans and sinners. That's what a Christian should be like. Should a Christian be somebody that looks down their nose at somebody that's maybe less fortunate or dresses differently or talk? No, we shouldn't, because that's not the way Christ was. Christ was a friend of those people, all right? Religious people do that. People that are self-righteous do that, but a Christian should never do that. So what isn't a Christian? We covered what is a Christian. You know what people say? Are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I'm a believer. Oh, really? Everybody in this room is a believer of something, right? It's just a matter of what you believe in. But you know what it says in James 2:19? He says, thou believest that there is one God? Oh, good. He said, thou doest good. He says, the devils believe also and tremble. Do you realize that there is not one demon in this world, under this world, around this world, however you want to put it? There's not one demon or devil that doesn't believe in God. Every demon and devil is a believer. Think about that. So when people say, I'm a believer, that doesn't really say anything. You can believe in anything and say, I'm a believer. A believer doesn't mean you're a Christian. A believer doesn't mean that you're saved, that you're trusting in Christ as your Savior, and that alone. So just a believer is not a Christian. A religious person. You say, oh yeah, I go to church. I read the Bible. I teach Sunday school. I've memorized the Ten Commandments. Okay, so I know that you're religious and that you believe in something, but are you saved? That's what we ought to ask people. Sometimes we ask people, are you a Christian? That's not the right question. The right question is, are you saved? A religious person. You know what Christ told the religious people? And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandments of God that you may keep your own tradition. He said, you're just keeping your own tradition. He said, that's just religion. It's the religious crowd that crucified Jesus Christ. Mark 7 and verse 13, he said, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. There's been religious people for ages without end, but not Christians, just religious people, not saved. All right, John 3 verses 1 through 3, there was a man of the Pharisees. Now, of the Pharisees, so he's a religious leader. It says, a ruler of the Jews. Here's a religious man. He came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, he's saying this to a religious person, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Christ said, you're religious. Yeah, you're a believer, but are you saved? He said, are you born again? That's the question. So a believer is not a Christian. A religious person is not necessary. Now, a Christian, they can be a believer. A Christian can be someone who does good, but just because you say I'm a believer, that doesn't make you a Christian. You have to be saved. Are you trusting in Christ as your Savior? Are you trying to walk with him daily? Romans 10 and verse 3. This is Paul's description of Israel, because Israel was very religious. And he says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Churches all over the world are full of people today that are religious, that are believers, that are trying to do good, but they're neither saved nor Christian. Because they're ignorant of God's righteousness, they're going about to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So let's go back to our verse here. Acts 11 verse 26, that term Christian, that happened, or was coined in about 42 AD. So about 9 years after Christ died on the cross, not a full 10 years after, within the first century AD. Excuse me. So you say, what about all the religions that were before that, before 42 AD? Now I'm going to list just a handful of them, but I can tell you there's a multitude of religions that were around prior to 42 AD. And now this is where we're going to get into a brief, very brief, 30,000-foot view history of Christianity. Because you say, well, Christianity is a relatively new religion. If you want to put it in those terms, it is. It's a relatively new religion. And there were a lot of other religions. They say, well, don't other religions. I've heard this argument. Don't other religions predate Christianity? Sure, they sure do. You say, doesn't that make them more of a religion than them, or doesn't make them older? It makes them older and makes them practice longer. Some of these are still into practice today. So Zoroastrianism. Now this is a You know, they just have one deity. It's not a polytheistic, it's a monotheistic religion. Zoroastrianism, if I can put it right, was around before Christianity. Hinduism was around before Christianity. Buddhism was around before Christianity. Judaism was around before Christianity, okay? Jainism, which is also another, kind of fits in with Hinduism and Buddhism, was around before Christianity. Those were all before Christianity. Taoism, a Chinese religion, it was here before Christianity. And Norse mythology, Roman mythology, Greek mythology, those were all around before Christianity. You say, well, then what about that? Does that make them more true? Does that make them more right? Does it make them right at all because they were here and they've been here longer? Now look, Jainism, Buddhism, Hinduism, those are all still practiced today. In fact, Jainism, they say, is one of the oldest religions still practiced today. And people say, well, listen, our church, if you can put it that way, was here long before your church. It was long here before Christianity. Christianity is just a European religion. This is some of the arguments they'll use. And we were here long before you, so we've been practicing for thousands of years before Christianity. Okay, that's probably a true statement. But you know what? None of these predate Christ or God's plan of salvation. Not one of them. You say, really? That's right. Not one of them do. And the Bible tells us that. And that's what we'll look at today. Now, if you want to know, we'll look at it here in a minute, kind of the spread of Christianity. We'll look at it here in just a moment. But these don't predate Christ or God's plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. So they might predate, quote unquote, Christianity, but they don't predate Christ. Guys, you want to come back and sit down? We got to wait till just do it one at a time. They don't predate Christianity or God's plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. John chapter 17 and verse 24. Christ said, Father, now this is after Christ is on the earth. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. Now listen, for thou lovedest me before the foundation of the world. So Christ, first of all, was beloved of the Father before the world ever existed. So and if you look at Luke chapter 9, he said, and there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. So Christ was God's beloved Son and beloved of God before this world ever existed. You know what that means? Because Zoroastrianism, Buddhism, Hinduism, Taoism, not Judaism, but Jainism, Norse mythology, Roman mythology, Greek mythology, all those were man-made religions. Okay, now I know Judaism, God initiated that, but that really fell into part of this. But it was all part of God's plan before the foundation of the world that Christ, his Son, would die on the cross for the sins of the whole world. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, he says, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received from tradition by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We're familiar with these verses. But verse 20, it says, who verily, talking about Christ, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So Christ not only was the Son of God before the earth existed, he was the Lamb of God and foreordained to be the Lamb of God to redeem us with the precious blood of Christ before the foundation of the world. You say, why did God wait? Why all the Old Testament then? Why thousands of years before Christ showed up? If Christ just showed up, would people have understood that they were not good enough to get to heaven? If they hadn't had 4,000, 3,000, 3,500 years, whatever it was, of trying to live under the law, trying to do animal sacrifice, trying to live a righteous enough life and failing and failing and failing after generation and generation and generation, I don't think they would have understood what salvation was without seeing that we are failed as human nature, that we cannot. The Bible says, and what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. And Christ came and he took care of that. That's why, again, and I've explained, is the law was our schoolmaster to lead us unto Christ. They wouldn't have understood that without the Old Testament. So Christ was manifest now in these last times for us. But he was foreordained before the foundation of the world to be the Lamb of God. So all those other religions that say, well, we came before Christianity. Yep, they came before Christianity, but not before Christ, and not before God's plan of salvation through Christ. You say, well, they've been practiced longer. Yeah, but Colossians 1 verse 16 says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. You know what falls under that? All those religions. He says all things were created by him and for him. God created all things. And the men that came up with those religions, they were created by the God that sent his son to die on the cross for their sins. So are they better than Christianity? No, they are not. Hebrews 1 and verse 8 says, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Not only was God's plan of salvation put into place and God's Son and the Lamb of God before the foundation of the world, when he sits on his throne and the throne of David, that throne is forever and ever. It's never going to end. It doesn't matter how many thousands of years they've been practicing this religion or how long it's been around. Christ's throne was here before them, and it's going to be here long, long after them. It is forever and ever. Luke chapter 1 and verse 33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. It is going to be forever and ever, an everlasting kingdom. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 27, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. All dominions shall serve and obey him. All those other religions, which are false religions, they're all someday going to have to bow down and confess that Jesus Christ is God, to the glory of God the Father. They're all going to serve him, and his dominion shall be forever, and all dominions shall serve him. And then finally, Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15, it says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world. Now, that's whether it's principality kingdoms, whether it's religious kingdoms, and there are those. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever without end. So it doesn't matter if there were religions that existed before Christianity. Again, they don't predate Christ. They don't predate God's plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. And they are going to have to bow to Christ someday. So it doesn't matter what they're saying now or how long they've existed. Christ was there before them, and he's going to be there long after them. It's like the saying, so this boat was sailing before us, and it's going to be sailing long after we're gone. And that's the way it is with Christianity, because it was here. Now, as far as the spread of Christianity, we'll look at that. I was going to bring a map up here, but I couldn't find one that I liked. So you're going to have to look over on this map. So to the argument, Christianity is just a European religion. Well, that's false. Because if you look at right over here, this is the Fertile Crescent, okay? Mesopotamia. This is where they say it is the birthplace of civilization. That's what anthropology says. I mean, secular anthropology says it's the birthplace of civilization right over here in the Fertile Crescent. That is also, I was telling the cadets this on Wednesday, that is also right where Noah's Ark settled on the mountains of Ararat. And the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You have Ham that went down this way into Saudi Arabia, into Africa. And the Bible talks about, you know, the black man down in here. Shem was in the Middle East. So most of Saudi Arabia, maybe some of Northern Africa, the Middle East, and all over here into Mongolia. Up over this peninsula right here, they talk about that's how they traveled across into Alaska, down through Canada, into the United States. That's where you get a lot of the indigenous peoples, the brown skin peoples. That is where even the Bible shows that Shem migrated to. And the anthropological timeline and studies, you can see, they can show you right where all the influences of these people, nations, went through all that. And then, of course, Japheth traveled over this way. And this is where you do get the European. But you know where Christianity was before it was ever in Europe? Now, sure, it came over in this way with Paul and some of those guys in the book of Acts and the New Testament and the epistles Paul wrote were up in here. But it was down in here. It was over in Northern Africa. It was in the Middle East. So they can't even say, well, that's just a European religion. It is not. It's an Eastern religion. Christianity is an Eastern religion, and before it ever became European or ever got over to the United States or became what they call a white man's religion, it was an Eastern religion. It was a Shemitic religion, and still is, by the way. We have a Shemitic Savior. I don't serve, you know, I don't care what the artist's conception is. Christ was brown-skinned. Christ had brown hair, brown eyes. He looked like a Middle Eastern person, and that's who I serve, is a Jewish Savior. And so Christianity, that's how Christianity spread. Yes, the term started in 42 AD. But if you really want to look at the history of it, God was planning that long, long before anybody else, even the world, existed. Now, just for fun, you know, a lot of those other religions, not all of them, but some of them I've studied, you know, the reason that many of them were recorded and their religious beliefs and ideas are in writing today is because a Christian recorded them. You look at Norse mythology, it was always passed down through talking and through storytelling and passed down from one generation to another. But Christian, now that's what the term they use in the history books, Christians came, likely from Revelation chapter 17, but they came and they actually started recording and putting those things into writing. Many of the cultures across the world, the reason they have a written language is because when Christianity spread, they started putting it into writing. So even though they say, well, we were here long before Christianity, well, maybe some of the reason you're still here, there's even any memory of it, is because of Christianity. So a brief, very brief history of Christianity, but it's interesting. So when we talk to people, don't say, are you a Christian? Are you a believer? Say, are you saved? And understand that that was God's plan before anything else even existed. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for your word, God, and it shows us clearly the plans that you had for us before the world was even founded, before Genesis 1:1, Lord, that you were planning on sending your son to die on the cross for the sins of your creation. And Lord, if there's someone in here who's never put their faith and trust in Christ and him alone, like we talked about this morning, maybe they're trusting in being a good person or being religious or being a believer, saying they believe in Christ, but they've never put their faith in him. Pray you'd give them an understanding heart and mind to acknowledge, Lord, their need of a Savior. Give them repentance unto the acknowledging of the truth. And just help them to put their faith and trust in Christ and him alone, apart from anything else. We thank you now, God, for your love towards us, for sending your son for us, and to die on the cross for our sins. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's go ahead and sing page 50, Fairest Lord Jesus, page 50.